The in this week's parsha, this week's parsha happens to be loaded with mitzvahs. Shkoach to the Werther's on sponsoring. You should be zeichet to sponsor many more meals for us. Amen. Thank you.
Something that the rabbi can eat.
That's okay. We're good. Among the discussion that we have in this week's parsha is we'll read a few psukim that don't seem to be able to read that great. We're talking about the beginning of the parsha about avodah zarah, that the Jewish people are about to enter the land of Israel. When they enter the land of Israel, there is a mitzvah to remove the idolatry. So it says, "Abeita abdunas kol makolosher avdu sham ha'goyim asher atem yorshim osam esal ohehem al harim harabim va'al hagvaos tachas kol eitz ra'anon," that you should destroy all of the places that were used by the nations that lived there to worship their gods, whether they be on mountains, whether they be in the valleys, whether they're under trees, everything should be destroyed. What does that mean? V'nitashem es mizbechosam, v'shibarta es matzevosam, v'asherehem tizfum be'esh, v'silehem tigadeyun, v'ibaratem eshema minamakomau. And you should smash their altars, and you should burn down the trees that they worship. They should absolutely destroy, you should totally uproot any form of idolatry within the land of Israel. Lo tasun kem ra'ashem elokeichem. But don't do that to Hashem. So what's that? What exactly does that pasuk refer to? So, a little
don't
tricky.
Don't destroy the Beit HaMikdash.
Don't go out. You're telling me that when you should go and try not to burn down the Beis HaMikdash?
The statues is very much an
example. No, yeah. There might have been another altar.
Maybe refer to
other people
last
worship God.
What?
Right. Destroy the name.
Right. So do not do that. So Rashi has three opinions. If you look at Rashi number two, he says Lo Sasun Kain. One is Lahakti Lishamayim Bechol Mokom Ki Ima Mokom Asher Yivchar. The first thing is, don't do like they did. They went and they worshipped all over the place on the mountains and the valleys. It's saying that you should not do that. Rather, you should only be in the Beis HaMikdash. Dover Acher. Possibility number two. V'nitasim es mizbech osam v'ibadtim es shemam lo sasun kein. Don't destroy the base of mizbeach. Don't wipe out the name. Azhar l'mochik es Hashem v'notitz evan min ha-mizbeach o min ha-azara. You cannot destroy what Yitzhak has suggested. You should not destroy the name of God. If something has the name of God on it, you should not destroy it. And similarly, you should not chip off a piece off the Mizbeach or the like. So Amar Rabbi Yishmael, v'chital al datcha sh'Yisrael notim as Mizbechos, you really think that B'nai Yisrael are going to go and destroy their own Mizbeach? You really needed a pasuk for that?
Didn't Yerovam do this? The very first king broke all the
No, he didn't. He
built Mizbechos.
Right, he didn't break the rituals, he just went into competition.
Yeah.
Right, but he didn't destroy it. Ela shalotasu kemaaseim v'yigrumu avinosechem mikdash avosechem sheyicharev. Rather, what we're saying is, don't sin, because if you sin, that will lead to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So it doesn't mean to practically do it yourself. It means that in fact you should. So there's three possibilities. Possibility number one is it's referring to that you shouldn't go worship God, bring karbonos, shouldn't bring sacrifices wherever you want. Number two is that you should not destroy the name of God, the altar of God. And number three is you should not sin, and that will lead to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Those are the three possibilities. Interestingly, of the three possibilities, one is brought down the halacha in the Gemara. It's strange where Rashi gets the list from. If you look at the Gemara in Makos, it says, Yechoshev nami hamochik as Hashem behilachu v'azorase mehocha. So the Gemara has a very strange case. The Gemara says, how many averas could I do in one act? So the Gemara talks about, well, maybe I take an ox and a horse and I'm plowing kilayim on Shabbos. Right, he has a whole long list.
With two different animals.
Right. 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 And a whale. The Gemara actually has that case. Could you plow? Can you plow?
Sandwich on Yom Kippur has got to come close.
Right. Depends if it's kosher cheese. So, right. So the Gemara is listing off how many sets of malchus could a person get. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you're plowing through the name of God. Right? This is listed as... What?
It was a corn maze.
Yeah.
You better get ready. We might be going to Nebraska next week, so don't take this too lightly.
In Illinois,
we're discussing this question about how many avers to do at one time.
Because in this discussion, the Gemara says, well, how do you know that you're not allowed to destroy the name of God? So it says, V'azharase mehocha v'ibadtem eshebam losasun kem l'Hashem elokeichem. So it says there, he says, that's this pasuk. So the Gemara clearly reads, our pasuk is meaning that you're not allowed to destroy the name of God. So therefore, this is the source for what we call Seamus. That in the event you have, what does the word Seamus mean?
Name
Seamus. What? Like Seamus Makovsky. Right. No, no, no. No, not exactly.
Famous Irish
family. Right. Yes. So, So Seamus means names. What type of names?
Names of Hashem.
Names of Hashem, right. The names of Hashem cannot be destroyed. Therefore, if something has the name of Hashem, of it we refer to it as Seamus, and therefore we do not put it in the garbage, we not destroy it, but rather we bury it in a way that is respectable, dignified. So this is where it comes from, because we know from our parsha, Lo Sasun Kein LaHashem Elokeichem, even though Rashi gave three possibilities, and if I just read Rashi, I would think the least likely one would be the second one, because that's the one that gets attacked by the third one and never gets defended. Still, the Gemara says, no, that's how we hold. This is the source. This is what we call Seamus. This is what we have to put there. Now, what is Seamus? That's what I want to focus on today.
Does that mean that Lo Tasun Kein only refers to Seamus, nothing else?
So that
I mean, when you're talking about halacha and deriving it from the Torah, is that what
Well, again, you're not allowed to bring a sacrifice any place but the Beis HaMikdash. However, likely this is not the source for it. Right? Similarly, you should not sin and have the Beis HaMikdash destroyed. But in the event that a person does sin and the Beis HaMikdash, God forbid, is destroyed, you didn't violate this. Now, you violated whatever you violated to get yourself into the situation. But in terms of the understanding of what this pasuk means, the Gemara seems to be saying that it means that you cannot destroy the name of God. So I've been getting complaints, largely from Duvi and Ladi, about the fact that people are way too machmir when it comes to Seamus.
Because of the previous lecture you gave.
What?
Right. You find English language novels having nothing to do with Judaism in there.
So
why? Because it says God?
No, I have no idea.
Right, so whoever's been putting the Denver Post in there, we know who you are and you better stop it. So the question is, what are the parameters? What goes in? What doesn't go in? Because with the amount of Seamus that we have accumulated has been more significant than we should be accumulating. So if you look at the Rambam in number 4 goes and explains, Kol ha-ma'abed Seamin ha-Seamus ha-Kadoshim ha-Tahorim she-nikra behem ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu lokem min ha-Torah. If a person destroys something that has the name of God on it, a person gets malchus. That, in fact, is a biblical violation. Shereihu omer ba'avodas kochavim yibadetem ha'shemam min ha'makom ahu lo sasun kein l'Hashem elokeichem. That's what he says flat out. What are the names of God? So he quotes the Gemara in Shavuos. V'shiv ha'shem oshem. There are 7 names of God. Hashem ha'nichta yud hei vav kei. Right, there is the obvious one. Ruh Shema Mefarish, Oh Hanichtav Alef Dalu Nun Yud, Ado Shem, as we say, Vikel Eloka Elokim Elokei Okay. B'shakai v'tzvakos. I obviously doctored this. Kol mochik echad os me'echas hashiv hashemos elu loke. These are the seven names of God. If any of the names of God appear on a piece of paper and you erase one of those letters, with that you get lashes for that.
So this sheet does not have Seamus on, is that right?
So I always, you'll note, doctor my sheets in order to make sure it doesn't have on it. Now, you might ask me, what about the first line? Let's see if anyone picked that up.
HaKadosh Baruch
Hu? No. First line on the first source. Elohim. Why did I do that?
It's their gods.
It would be a mistake to change it. Right? There's no respect whatsoever for that I have. What? Let's calm down. I think we're now on source number 4 out of 19. So it's premature, I think, to ask that question.
So then when I asked you if I need to keep the announcements because of your Parsha column,
no.
Right. Perhaps I'm being a bit too mocking.
So let's get through this, right?
That's why we're learning.
Right. This is why I am glad that people are bothered by these issues, and perhaps this will be an excellent opportunity to address the issues once and for all. That's what I hope to do tonight.
People's name, because how you name your child, it's important. But this isn't referring to that. It's only referring to people who...
If you name your kid Adoshem,
uh-huh,
or something like that, you
got bigger problems.
You got to put him in Seamus.
Actual case. Look, there's two kids in there right now. People put everything in Seamus. It's a big problem.
Don't worry, the bags are so heavy.
You should know, by the way.
The name Yehuda has Shem HaShem in it. Name Shem HaShem in it.
Yep, it does.
So it didn't have Shem HaShem in it.
Yeah, it does.
That's
Shin Dalet Yod. It's like the, you know, S-D-Y.
You just
take
out the notes.
Sydney.
One of the
things. Shem.
That means that when Sydney dies, we have to put him in Shem. In Geniza.
Right. So
in the storage box.
I think we're going to move on a little right now. So in fact, I drive oftentimes down Parker to the 12 Mile Stables, and there's a guy, a company that advertises on the side of the road called El Shaddai, ELSHADDAI.
Yeah.
It's a church, actually.
Yeah.
It's right by the famous biker bar. What's that called again?
Right.
Piper Inn or something?
No, this is
right.
Like a flooring home.
Right. They also,
no,
they,
no, it's
golf.
A church.
It's a golf. What?
Pasquale, I don't know how to see it.
Yeah, read this. When you go past Temple Quincy over there.
Is that where your school is?
Yeah, it's on Parker.
Mm-hmm.
You're wrong.
So, in fact, I believe that would not be Seamus. So let's think about this. So right now, all we have is it says that according to the Torah, literally Seamus means names. And when we talk about names, not just any name, right?
If
I have a piece of paper that says Cassius Clay, that doesn't have to go into Seamus, right? But in fact, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the names of God. And the Rambam says there are specifically seven names of a God. Period. That's it. No more, no less. That's it. Now, we're not going to go into it. I'll just tell you outside. There is a disagreement here as to what... everyone agrees that there are seven names of God. What exactly they are is a machokas. Right? Yud, K, Vav, K, everyone agrees this, right? That's an easy one, right? Elohim, that's for sure. But after that, it gets a little dicey. What exactly the seven are, that's questionable. But okay, but whatever they are, they are. So in terms of that, so again, I always try to be very careful. My wife's not as much on the Wednesday sheets, I've noticed. Not to put the name of God on the sheets because of this concern. All right, so can we throw them out? So let's discuss a little more. There is a concept called a kinoi. A kinoi literally means a nickname. So there's certain nicknames that God has. Mm. Give me an example.
HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. Okay. God. Mm-hmm. God is a nickname of God.
What about like a
G-D? No?
What?
G
The Lord. Rachum Chanun. Right? There are.
What about like the hay with the little chicken?
What? So that arguably would be a key. So we have a word now that is not one of the proper names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it is referring clearly to Hashem. Right? So the question is, what about in that case? What if I have something that isn't one of these names, but it's what's called a kinoi, a nickname of Hashem? So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, he said, "Klishu kosev alav shem, kotzitz hamakom hashem v'gonzo." If I have something that the name of God is written on, I can cut out that name and put that in Geniza. This is a very famous shaila, a classic actually. There was a great rabbi, Rabbi Shlomo Warman, who passed away a few years ago. He wrote many wonderful svarim, which we have, I don't think, any here. But actually, no, we have at least one of them, now that I think about it. So he was, for many years, he was a rebbe in Hank. Right, the Hank is Carl Tesler's alma mater, I believe.
Hebrew Academy, Nassau County.
Right. So one time he writes in his sefer that the following thing happened, that they had a student teacher come in to try out for a job, to give a model lesson. So the fellow walks over to the chalkboard and says, "I'd like to teach you about the seven names of God that cannot be erased. They are..." Right across the board, every one of them.
Oh, no. There's a halacha. If you write it in chalk or something that's meant to be erased.
Right. No.
That's okay. There's an argument. I don't know.
Right. No, so we not a good right, that's not a good way to get a job.
No, but they apply so it to electronics because they say
that never existed at all. That's a little different. Well, we'll discuss that a little later, hopefully. So in terms of what do you do with the chalkboard now? That's the question.
Those are the real things.
What? Yeah, this is the
nicknames.
Right. Right, so the Shulchan Aruch here says if that happens, you can cut out the names. But I imagine at that point, I think the psak that Rabbi Warben gave was that entire chalkboard is going into Sheamus.
Wow.
You're a kid.
I kid you not.
Why didn't the janitor just go? Why didn't you not tell the janitor and let him take care of it? Right.
Because, again, when it comes to Sheamus Daraisa, you can't do it all day grama either. Again, but you're leaving there and you're not telling him, you're being Gorim. Maybe B'Sheva Al Tase.
But Gorim would be telling him to do something.
Telling an employee to do something is a mice to be a dime.
And if he gets rubbed by accident of the board.
It's the same thing.
What?
If the board gets rubbed.
And it's that person's Chayiv Achat, it's for being over in Issa Doraisa by accident.
So you have to write, do not erase.
No, you have to take it off. awaiting Pesach. Don't touch it. Right. So that's the first part of the Shulchan Aruch. That's a classic case. Things note not to do. But then the Ramah goes on. Also, lichto shem lechachira shelo b'sefer. Don't write down the name of God unless it's in a sefer that's going to be watched. The yachol lavo lidei bizayon. You just write it on a piece of paper, it'll end up in the garbage. So you should never write the name of Hashem in a letter. Not only that, but some people say you cannot write the word shalom.
What?
Really?
Why? I
haven't
heard that.
It's my uncle's name.
Oh. I'm not Makabel. Right? So what's the reason for that? So the idea is that the word shalom is a kinoy of Hashem, right? So because of that. Now, lahalacha, Uncle Shalom's okay. They'll be happy to note. Because the shach paskins, afilu b'mila shalom, number 6, rov ha'olam ein nizharim b'zeh. Most people are not worried about that. Yeah. The Rush writes that it's mutter that you're allowed to do that. It's not a problem. It's interesting to note, though, because of this, that there are more people that are careful not to say the word shalom in the bathroom. If you see someone in the bathroom, you should not say shalom to them. What? I'm talking about practical. Here in Denver, we have bathrooms.
Don't converts say Shem Hashem and the mikvah?
Women.
I mean, women say it.
Women say it. Right.
It's different, though.
Right, that's what?
But you also say it.
What?
Yeah. Well, but you're not addressed.
I'm not going to pry or anything, but I don't think there's a problem in the Kehillah Mikvah as far as I know.
Women at the mirror or say Shabbat Shalom or Good Shabbos to one another? Is that not
so? Again, I don't spend a lot of time in a women's restroom, to be honest. But again, the mirror, is that in the same part of the restroom as, so then it might not be appropriate. I thought that's why you have you have the room outside,
can
so you can schmooze there.
What about saying Mazel Tov?
Mazel Tov is not the name of God.
Okay, so that's okay.
Right. So that you're okay with. Okay, so that's...
Are you allowed to say the word Shver? Shver is known as God sometimes.
Yeah.
God will provide.
Right.
Shver
will provide.
You're allowed
to
say that word. Yes.
So here you're allowed to. I can't talk for all communities, but I think here you're allowed to.
The BSD, or Beis Samach Dalet.
Or Beis Hay. We'll get to that. But again, so that's the question. There are people out there that are very firm. Whenever they write a letter, they write Beis Hay on top of it. What does Beis Hay stand for? And what does the Hay stand for? So that's a keynote. So in fact, not only isn't it a frumkeit, the argument is that you shouldn't be doing it. It's a problem.
Well, then what about all of these names that you've written here so that this doesn't have to go in Gemiza? They're still names.
Oh, you're saying, well, wait a second. You know, all my doctoring of it still is kinuyim. So the answer is as follows. Clearly that there's a difference. When you talk about the Torah law, the Torah law is the seven names. However, kinuyim is the rabbanon. The extension beyond the seven names proper to other names, which refer to Hashem, that is rabbinic. So, obviously, if someone would get rid of something that's rabbinically problematic, it's not appropriate, but it's not as bad. So by getting out the names, you are definitely lowering the problem. Right? But just because we did get rid of the names doesn't mean that you can throw this in the garbage.
But isn't there also another problem with this particular sheet, that if you have a lock on it?
Oh, we will get to that. Yes, that is an excellent point, and we're going to hold that for now, but we will get to that.
Thank you for asking.
Okay. All right. The Shulchan Aruch then discusses the case of, what if I begin to write the name of God? So I want to write Elohim, and I write the Aleph Lamed. Well, Aleph Lamed...
is one of the names.
Yeah.
Similarly, if I want to write the Yud K one, and I only write the first two letters, Yud He is also a name of God. So he says, if that's the case, Eino Nimchak, Avol Shade Mishakai, Vitzav Mitzvakot. If I wrote only the first letter, so Shade is a word, but it's not a name of God.
What word?
Shindalad.
Shad.
What?
The Shad.
In some places, they use the letter Dalet instead of the letter A.
Yeah. Right.
For Shem Hashem.
That's from Aramaic, I think.
What?
No.
It's from Aramaic, right?
No, it's not. It's just instead of A.
Because you use...
What's it short for? Doraisa?
No, Dalet in Aramaic is occasionally used for thought. So instead of saying Hashem, which is in Hebrew, it's something in Aramaic.
So any of these words, however, if you started writing a name, you don't complete it, and what you began itself is not a name, you can erase it. Hagom, Yechid Aleph Dalet Me Adoshem, or Aleph Hey Me Echye. Similarly, they're not names of it. Yesh Machmirim Bezem, Rashim Shekosu Besidurim, Beis Yudin. So that's what we have also, right? Oftentimes, considering for Hashem, Hashem, we have two Yuds. What's that doing there? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Skipping the... I don't know.
Ever wonder? V'echon al gabeyem mutu l'mochok im huru tzorech.
What?
You have it in front of you, number 7. So, right? In those cases, if there's a reason for it, you can erase it. The two yuds. Now, the two yuds are clearly a kinoy. Right? Mm-hmm. They're not one of the names, but they're referring to God.
But when you see it, you always say,
that's right,
or at least the name of God.
Correct. That's it's a flag. That's what you're supposed to say here now. Right? So he seems to be saying, so what are we learning from here? That when you have a kinoy, if there is a need for it, really you shouldn't necessarily wipe it out, but if there's a need, then you can talk about
it. But isn't a nickname something you can say? You can't even say that.
Ye. I mean,
yud, yud, what
ye.
Do you say? Yeah, but nobody ye. Ever says it.
Hip, hip. Yay, rub a it's short actually for rub a dub dub, thanks for the grub. Yay, God. So you have the so you have the yay and the God together. I think that's the marker for it.
Is that where we get yid from?
No. So we don't actually.
No, so, that's Yehudi.
Huh? Yehudi.
Right. So what we're seeing here is there is a difference. There's a difference between the names, the seven names. And that's Doraisa. If you would destroy it, you would get lashes for that. And that in no cases can you destroy. As opposed to Durabanans would be. Now, I've always been bothered by the G-Ders of the world. What's the difference between G-G and G-O-D?
Nothing. Same thing.
What? No, it's silly.
No, it's like a hyphen between in God's name.
So why am I hyphenating?
You're still saying it's the
same kinoy.
It's the
same kinoy, right. At the end of the day, there's no sense in it.
Oh, it's not separation. It doesn't
say
it's
being solid or being
saying
it's the same
thing.
There is
no God.
It's a shorthand.
Right?
That's what it is.
Right, so that's the idea. It doesn't really, the dash doesn't really make anything better.
It just makes it shorter.
No.
What?
In English, it's an English.
Can't hear you, sorry. Hecher, hecher.
Some kinoyim be stronger than others?
So, no, probably not. I mean, it's, why? What would you suggest?
Well, because like you did, for whatever reason, you're going to say Hashem afterwards, but when you say Hashem, that's also kinoyim, but that's something that's a
kinoyim. You're saying that one of them is a flag to say the word, and the other one is a new word.
It is a flag to say it, yes, no.
Right. So, it's a svara, but I haven't heard that. So practically, so Rav Avadia Yosef writes, "She'ela he'imutu lichtov beiz hay Rosh Tevis be'ezus Hashem be'rosh ha'michtavim v'grosh romim o yesh rochu shema yashli chuma ashpa v'nimtza shem Hashem mutu be'bizayon." Should you write beiz hay or not? So he writes b'sikum, "Mutu lichtov beiz hay be'rosh ha'michtavim v'grosh romim v'chinogu shlomi amuna yisov v'tov v'nochem lasos kein." So he says, yeah, it's not a problem. Matter of fact, all the rabbis did have a good time. Other people are not as happy about it. I once read an article that just blew my mind. Somebody wrote an article, he says, about this issue, and he said, what you should do is you should write Beis Hay, but have in mind it stands for Beis Hillel.
Then why would you be writing it?
There's the question. And what did you gain by that?
What if you think
now your friends will think you're really, really frum, but you don't have a Seamus problem.
what if you think it's Bezrat HaShemayim?
It's the same thing.
What? Sasha Maim's a kinoy also. I don't know. Why are you...
Same thing.
You're sitting around and saying, you know... You're sitting around and saying, my field will grow Bezrat HaShemayim if it rains? What do you mean by HaShemayim?
So you can't write on something, you know...
On a card.
Or something... No, but I'm just saying, like, you can't write on a card something like Baruch Hashem. You can't write something like that.
So you can write it, but the question is that
now the person
going
to have to tell his shame.
Right, so Dishmaya would also be referring to Hashem. Right, so the question of all these things is, what's the upside? Maybe we're machmir, maybe we're not machmir, but what's the upside?
You're just expressing your faith.
Right.
It's a way of connecting.
So again, it's a, so connect someplace else.
you asked the question.
Okay.
So where we see that it's shaykh to other languages?
So again, it's anything that refers to God. Uh-huh. So let's move on to the Rambam. So the rabbi says, Shar HaKinuyim, Shem Meshapchem Behem as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anything else that you praise God with. Kigon Chanun V'Rachum HaGodol HaGibor V'HaNora HaNemon Kanei V'Chazak V'Kayos V'Hem Harei Hein Kishari Kisvei Kodesh U'Mutu Rimolko. So he makes an interesting statement there. This is one we have to look at very closely. He says any one of these names, which are not one of the seven names, is the same as Divrei Torah, and you're allowed to erase it. Now, if I just read that along, I would think the Rambam is saying
you can erase Divrei Torah.
Correct. I can erase Divrei Torah, and I can also erase Kinuyim. That the only problem is that. However, if you read the Rambam three halachas later, he says, Kisrei HaKodesh kulam u'perishem u'bireim asur v'sofrim u'la'avdam b'yad. That he said, any Divrei Torah, meaning any Kisrei Kodesh, and any perish on it, or any explanation of it, all of that, you're not allowed to burn, and you're not allowed to destroy. V'ama'avdam b'yad makan oso makas mardas. And if you do it, you get Malchus Mardus. What's Malchus Mardus? That's the punishment that you get for doing a Darabanan.
What kind of lashes are those?
It's a three-way Machokas. And one opinion, it's a third. Instead of 39, you get 13. Mm-hmm. Another one is it's the judge's choice. And the third opinion is they beat you to death.
Oh, great.
Try...
What? You mean they put lashes?
Wet noodles.
No.
What?
No. How do they give lashes in those days?
What do you think that wasn't invented in those days? What do they give lashes with knees nowadays?
Straps.
Right. So in those, they didn't have straps in those days?
Leather straps? Yeah, I guess they did.
I guess they did.
So they did.
Really,
so
they're being whipped with the Philistines.
A belt.
That's so. B'medvar Amruim b'kisrei Hakodesh shekostum Yisrael b'kedusha ava apikaris Yisrael shekostum sefer Torah sarfin also imhas karos shabo b'neish eino mamim b'kedusha sashem. Says, of course, in order for it to be shameless, the person who writes it has to have in mind that this is for God. If the person is not a believer, then, in fact, you don't have, these rules
so the
do not apply.
It was written by a reformed sofer, would have no status of Seamus?
Arguably not. Now, this comes up practically in an important case. What do you do with Gideon Bibles?
What?
No Gideon style. Bibles.
One, they're not in the. They're not in
the hotel room Bibles.
So? I don't know if that makes a difference. I don't think
they are
does.
The hotel room Bibles.
But let's see, some of them have Yud Kei Vav Kei written in it. So according to that, you can throw it in the garbage. You can throw
them. According
to the Rambam.
Because they don't have.
They don't have in mind.
But
I once got into trouble, and I'll probably get into trouble again because it's being recorded again. I got up and I said, I recommend it that when you go to a motel, if there's a Gideon Bible, you should take it and throw it out because the Gideons replace it every time you take it. You're allowed to take it, and then they replace it. So every time you take it and throw it in the garbage, it costs them money. So that's less money they can use for proselytizing. Some people got insulted by that.
The Gideon Bible
go, no.
For the Seventh-day Adventist?
No.
Are you saying they don't believe in God? Is that what you're really saying?
I'm saying that they have a rule of an apikoros. They do not... That once you get up and you say that there was a part two of the Torah,
yeah,
you're off the island.
So Jehovah's and any of those...
I shouldn't say that word.
A well-respected opinion
exactly.
That Christians, by their very nature, are in fact of the Kohanim, and that to destroy their artifacts is actually then a mitzvah.
Correct. Right, but even if not, clearly it doesn't have any kedusha.
Quick question: when you're explaining something, not writing it, and you mention God's name, you're not mentioning God's name to be disrespectful in any way.
That's fine.
Or make less of it.
That's,
If you're teaching kids in school about prophets and God,
you should use God's name.
So you're allowed to say Adonai or
yes.
Elohim.
And you're lucky the answer was yes just there.
Okay.
That was close.
I'm verifying it strongly because a lot of people say, you can't do that.
So, for example, oftentimes I will sit down with a person who's a potential convert, and I'll ask them a question. No, what bracha do you make on fresca? And they'll say, shahakal. And we'll say the bracha. I want to know that. Not that you just memorize it, but you know what a shahakal is. And we'll tell them you can use the God's name, even though you're not drinking anything now.
Good.
But what about the writing of it?
It's not a written test practically, but the idea being that if you write it, yeah, it has holiness. It's going to have to go to Sheamus. There's nothing wrong with it going to Sheamus.
What about if somebody comes to a shear and they take notes and
I'd recommend that you write it and you keep it. Why are you writing notes?
Don't take notes.
It helps me learn.
That's good. And what are you going to do with the notes when you're done with it?
Clean them over.
Review them.
Exactly. Study for the midterm, right? No, I think you should know. I have at home. I have binders and binders of notes that I took on classes that I still look at. No, nope, and I.
Put them into
I could, well, but I use them still. I know. I could take all my stuff and put them into Seamus if that made me happy. I'm not sure why I'd want to do it.
But I can see it. Yeah, I remember such and such a rabbi gave such and such a lecture.
Correct. Correct.
Drash of the Shabbat.
Mm-hmm. Well, no. I have mine actually indexed very well, and I will go back and I will look at that. And sometimes I will walk into class and I'll say, this idea was a class that I heard 30 years ago. In fact, on September 28th, 1988. Right, I heard the following class, and
I remember it was 30.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So.
So, what's the intention of those notes as time goes by, and you are no longer with us?
I assume you'll publish it after I'm gone.
Is that what you're really thinking?
No, what's going to happen to my set of Mishnah Brewers after I'm gone? I don't know.
Why are you killing him off so quickly?
I don't know.
No, I actually
you see this? Patty's killing you off.
Tell you something. Some of the greatest textbooks I had in physics were like your father. People who took notes in Fermi's classes at the University of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Off your and then they were, they were published later as textbooks.
Notes are a good thing. I'm a big fan. I encourage my students, unsuccessfully usually. But, I absolutely should. And either you should save them if they have value. If they don't have value, put them in Sheamus. This isn't so tricky.
What about on the computer?
So we'll get to computers. Okay, so let's move on. Now, so the Rambam here. We just did number 9 and 10. In number 9, it says, kinuyim, nicknames are not Sheamus, just like Divrei Torah is not Sheamus. But then it says afterwards, by the way, Divrei Torah is Sheamus. Mm-hmm. How does that work? So clearly, the meaning is that kinuyim are like Divrei Torah. It's not the Oraisa. When the Torah says Lo Sasum Kin Hashem Elokeichem in this week's parsha, that's only referring to the seven names. However, the rabbis, to show respect for Divrei Torah, to show respect for the Kinuyim of Hashem, they expanded it. But it's not the same thing, and we'll see practically how that plays out and why being the Rabbanan is very important. Now, in general, what do you do with it? So the Shulchan Aruch says Sefer Torah Shabbala. If you have a Sefer Torah that's already falling apart, right, it's already sitting in the wrong Aron, in two pieces, what do you do with it? You put it in a container, and you bury it with a Talmud Chacham. You don't have to be the greatest Talmud Chacham to get a Sefer Torah buried with you. Right, so that's practically what we do. With our Sheamus, we bury them. Now, we don't usually bury them with people anymore, but that's very rare.
Like in a coffin with a person?
No,
once you put the coffin in the ground.
Either way,
what's the difference?
Well, you wouldn't put it.
Where do you?
Very well respected, very well known rabbi to have that, to have a Torah put in your coffin. You'd have to be like a Sadiq, right?
No, no, not so much.
Not necessarily?
No, no. We're pretty laid back. I know people I can take care of if you're interested.
No, I'm not. Okay.
Hold on, Joe.
Sound mind, I spent it all.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing's going. Well. It's being left, yeah.
Okay, so. So.
Take care of that.
Rav Moshe Feinstein has the Sifrei HaMissionarin. Anyone know what that word means?
Missionary season.
Oh, excellent. Sheesh ben psukim v'shemos. It'll be Pirushim Rishon Mala Tanach Shim Tzom. Gam Pirushim Nechonim V'gam Yishitzvot Ima Tanach Ima Sofram Ola Gonzom. So let's say practically, let's say the Christians will print a Mikros Gedolos and they'll also add another parish of their own. What do you do with that? Hinei B'sefer Misyonarin Nerin HaRishoim Shekasa Shem V'psukim V'gam Shemos Hashem Yisbarach Kvar B'yarti B'tshuv B'chek Yodei Shish Rodun Af Shehu Din Mefurish B'Shabbos V'gitin Shekasa Min Yisarev. Says throw them out. Doesn't matter. It could be you have the entire Tanakh with the name of God in it and Rashi.
Why don't you just cut out their part?
There's a joke, they say, about a fellow that would sit around learning Gemara, and whenever there was a Tosfos, he didn't understand, he had a razor, he would cut it out. So they said, what are you doing? He says, it's wrong. They said, but there's two sides to the page.
Really?
He says, Oyer Rosh, Oyer Shechena.
Bad man and
do bad
for his neighbor.
But the assumption is, if it's published with a mind to push forward a non-Jewish theology, then the whole book is worthless. So,
any Christian book is you're referring to, or Muslim, or any. Anything
not traditionally Orthodox.
And we all bind. So you're saying that you can throw out a Reform Tanakh or a Siddur?
No. No. Because they didn't add anything to it.
They do. They changed things.
Yeah, they changed the print.
Tanakh?
No.
Tanakh?
In the
what did they change in the Tanakh?
They go on about the
I'm not asking about the Siddur. What are they changing the Tanakh?
They've changed some of the words, including in the Hebrew, if they have it.
In the Hebrew? The interpretation is a little different, but they're not really changing Tanakh.
So the Rambam said that if somebody wrote it with the intention that it was Hashem, that you couldn't destroy it, but what if it was printed by a machine?
There's the question. So because the question is, well, who pressed the button? Someone had to press the button.
The union member in the printing union.
Right. And that person likely did not have in mind whoever's the guy who's pressing the button.
Right.
Did
he get
it
right here? Printing the equipment?
So we assume yes. Because that probably doesn't matter who presses the button. It more has to do with what the purpose of it is. That, again, the purpose of... So again, who prints the Art Scroll Gemaras?
Okay, I don't know, some printers.
But some are publications.
But who? I don't think that Nelson Sherman sits there, you know, cranking the wearing a smock, you know.
There's an employee who's non-Jewish who actually, in the old days, pulled the lever, page by page. Or nowadays,
the reason why I chose
just presses the button and the pages go through the printing machine. And they come out and they have to be cut and so on and all that stuff.
But that's a valid point because like many copies of the Mishnah Torah, my understanding is that there's a lot of competition back in Europe that they would actually have the guy undercutting the Jewish printers.
There's a famous case.
The edition for all, nothing to do with it.
Right.
But again, we don't really care who's printing it. That's what it comes down to.
But what was the answer about the Reform Siddur that does have editions?
So I could hear strong arguments that a Reformed Siddur could be thrown out even if there's Hashem's name in it.
Whoa.
I could hear such an argument being made. Done it myself? No, I've never thrown out a Reform Siddur.
Have you ever held a Reform Siddur?
I might have. I think I did. I think I did. One time there was a certain amount of...
No, the point is I'm not so sure that he would have used one.
Used one, no. I have not used one, but there's a good chance I was at a wedding in a Reformed temple or something where out of curiosity I wanted to see, you know, they really take out the carbonos? Is that true? They really write that?
No, like, but they... Talk about the Japan, Hiroshima, Nagasaki
in the
being
Seaboard?
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. I never figured out. We didn't cause that war, did we?
What I learned in Temple Micah's is all our fault.
I think so.
Right.
I imagine you could.
Yeah.
So. How's the baby?
Right to go.
You took a breath, Rabbi. I had to get that in.
Well, I'm glad. I'm a better person for it.
I think so.
Yes. Anywho. The Gemara discusses a few other interesting cases. Tanya, number 13. Shehaya Shem Kosovo al Basara. What if you got a tattoo with God's name on it?
I've seen it. Naturally, anybody who has a tattoo, let's see what the Gemara has to say about it. Simply because of either growth or shrinking.
What do you mean by time?
Hey, you get a tattoo. And you have it for even a few years. One, it's going to fade as it sinks particles slowly into the bloodstream. And that does happen over a lifetime.
Right.
No, it's not a joke.
No, I know.
And it's, you're going to, if you get it at all at any young age, which is probably prior to about 50, you're certainly...
I like that. I like that at a young age.
You should get one. All right, you should get a few. Okay, Rabbi, you know what else? If you
you cannot take a shower if you do this.
Now that doesn't make any sense because it doesn't erase it. Go ahead.
But you're standing naked now in front of the name of God. There is the sensibility, my friend. Hark! There is sense there.
So maybe
out. Well, you can do it semi-grass.
I think someone
I thank everyone for coming tonight.
Sorry.
not as sorry as I am. And you cannot, basically, going to the bathroom would be problematic. What if it's a woman and she has to go to the mikvah?
And she's got a tattoo with God's name on it, and she's got to go to the...
Now what does Madonna do?
What does Madonna do?
Oh, she's a... Gemi v'yari v'togel. See, you tie something around it. That it'll be covered. If Yosef and Omer, yari v'togel k'darko.
Is it considered chatzitza?
What?
Considered chatzitza? Because you have to take off nail polish and everything else.
Nope. The water gets through. You'll be wet afterwards.
So then you could theoretically wear clothes. That's not right.
Why is that wrong? Yes.
It happens sometimes.
What?
It does. What happens?
Never mind.
Yeah.
I think we're fine.
Right. So the Gemara here makes us. This is why it's important. Right. This one, besides being an absolute winner case, of course. Rav Yossi Omer Olam Yored V'Tovel Kedarko. Rav Yossi says that in fact, you can. There's no problem going into a mikvah with a tattoo like this. You're just not allowed to take soap and try to wash it off. I mean, that's probably isn't the tattoo. This is just if someone wrote this on themselves.
It's a temporary tattoo, which is going to go away anyway then.
Correct. But
so
you're
it may be problematic to write it in the first place.
Correct. Please do not write the name of God on your body. I would ask everybody, please, and if you've been doing it, just stop. Okay? I don't want to embarrass anyone because Marsha's right here, but you know... So the Shani Hasan Damakrovi Ibadatim Ashman bin Amoko Mahugo Sasun Kim Rashem Okechan. What's the reason for it? Because the Pasuk says Lo Sa'asun Kim. What's the word Lo Sa'asun? You should not do this. It sounds very active. Asiyahu Da'asar. You can actively do it. Grama Shari. However, I can, through Grama, I can indirectly allow it to be destroyed. That's an important statement.
I don't know what that means.
He's going to explain that.
What?
I don't know what that means.
So it means as follows. I know that if I leave this paper when I walk away, so Lupa, the cleaner, is going to come tomorrow, and she's probably going to collect it all and throw it out. Right? I am not throwing it out. But I am indirectly causing it to be thrown out.
That's the case of the
blackboard. Yeah, the blackboard. Just don't mention it to the janitor. Yeah.
Right? So what we're saying here, the Gemara is indicating that grama is okay. Let's hold on to that nugget of information. Looking at the Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, number 14, the Halacha Nira. It would seem Shafil im name Shemechikas Hashem Aide Grama Yesh Isur Durabanan. Even if you tell me that he says that Grama is not technically allowed, but it's only rabbinic. We call Malkum Besefer Mishnayish as Karas Leka Gama Avlu Vidaim Eno Ella Isur Durabanan Chen Aide Grama Gam Isur Durabanan Leka. He makes the following statement: for me to go and leave this out here and it'll be destroyed, that is allowed, meaning according to the Torah, but not according to the Durabanan. However, let's say I could put two Durabanans together, meaning this sheet does not have one of the seven names on it.
Right.
Even if I have a kinui, even if it's Divrei Torah, it would only be Durabanan.
Right.
And if I indirectly destroy it, that's another Durabanan. So if you take two, if it's a double Durabanan, then you're allowed to do it.
It sounds like that would be worse.
Yeah. What?
It's like you're violating two laws.
No.
Of the
let me compare. So this.
It's an extent. If it's violating the extension of an extension, it's two fences out.
Correct. Meaning that if I will leave my chumash here, knowing that Lupa is going to throw that out,
that's a problem.
But if I leave it, because that's a doraisa, that's going to happen. Right? As opposed to, he says, well, this is a Durabanan, and the Grama, the indirectness, is another Durabanan, that makes it allowed.
Okay.
Right? Now this is important here, because that's a big difference between the right. If I put the name of God in here,
you got a problem.
Then, and even if I don't do it, like, so again, let's go back to the chalkboard over there.
Yeah, you put the name of someone.
Right, you said to me, "Ah, how come you're allowed to do this here, but you can't do it there?" The answer is because there it's Doraisa. The guy wrote the big seven on there.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be so misogynist. He or she wrote the big seven there.
But you know that it was a he.
What? It.
So, but if you had the big seven in your sheet and you left it here and the cleaning person took it, who's avera is that? Is that
yours?
Avera?
Yes.
Yours.
Yes. Your avera derabanan.
No, not if it had the actual name.
No, because I didn't throw it out.
You didn't throw it out. But it's,
I didn't throw it out.
But it's not a derabanan, derabanan.
The indirect makes it,
but you wrote it.
What?
But you wrote it down.
So?
If
someone if I took an Art School Chumash and I threw it in the garbage, it would be Art School's problem.
No, be your problem.
Okay, so too here.
Got it.
So here, not my problem.
So what about the name in the Torah that says Ehayeh Asher Ehayeh? I mean, that's one where he says that is my name.
So again, the Rambam would not agree with this, but other people say that that's one of the seven. That is on other lists. So therefore, it is potentially Doraisa, and therefore you should treat it as such.
Self-aware.
Right. And therefore, these coolest would not apply.
Isn't the case of the Gemara Hashem's name? In Shabbos.
Right. So again, so that's what we say, that when we say Grumma is Mutter, it means Mutter Midoraisa, but also Midorabanan.
Okay.
Correct. Now, I'm going to skip a little here to number 19, and we'll go back afterwards. Based on this, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very big kula, right? Someone sends him a letter, which is really an issue that we suffer from throughout Judaism nowadays. It used to be, back in the day, a young man got a sitter at his bar mitzvah, and that lasted him basically
his life.
Right? Right? The amount of svarim that were out there in the community was minimal. And every sefer out there was read and read and read until you could read it no more. Nowadays, every single yokel, every third grade class is putting out divrei Torah sheets. Right? Between Breslov and YU Torah and what have you not, and Rabbi Sachs, everyone printing at Rabbi Sachs, the amount of Seamus has just exploded. Right? Right? The Eidos newsletter has the rabbi's Devar Torah, which on some weeks may even be Torah. Okay? So the question is, what do you do with so much Seamus? I mean, we've got to start killing tzaddikim so we have some place to put it. Just a suggestion to put out there. So someone asked Rav Moshe, are you allowed to recycle Divrei Torah? It's not like today when I'm giving the shiur, even though I gave it before in Eidos. that's one type of recycling. But this is recycling literally. Are you allowed to...
In the bin.
Right.
In the bin.
Yes, but with a bag.
So Rav Moshe says as follows. So again, this is a longer tshuva. Now, I should note that this tshuva was published posthumously by Rav Moshe. So some people don't like this. There are people who do not accept the volumes of Igros Moshe that were written after Rav Moshe passed on for several good reasons, meaning that Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva. If he wanted to publish it, he would have. He decided not to, so we shouldn't. Either he wasn't that sure about it, he was concerned.
He was thinking.
What?
He was thinking about it.
Right. So
it also just been in line to be published, but he died for it.
Oh, so the question is, when was it written? You've got to look at the date in these. That's exactly the point. If this was a tshuva written in the 1950s, it's a bad argument that, you know, he just never got around to publishing it. Mm-hmm. If it was written in the 1980s, as this one was, then it's a stronger argument that it should be accepted. Mm-hmm. So that's the story with this. So Sifrei Kodesh Nidfasim Shabalo Imuta Letitam Bekelim Shalokim Osam Misham V'Tochne Osam V'Mochin Osam Lasos Niyar Chadash. You're allowed to put them in bins where people take the paper and they grind it up and they make it into new paper. That's what we call
recycling
bin. Le'inyan Maisa. So again, long tshuva, we're going to skip. Who borrow at Sli Kamosha Kasati Yesh Rasur Bechumoshim Besifrei Tanakh Shebehem Din Tzom Shemos. He says, you can't do this with things out of the real name of God. V'chein Sidurim Eil Shematfisim B'Shemos Mamish. Also a sitter that has the real name of God, you're not allowed to do this. Avol Me'asvarim Shebetor Shebal Peh Shehem Mishnayis V'Gemaris Mishnei HaTalmidim V'chol Sifrei Rabboseinu HaRishonim V'Achronim V'Asvarim HaNitfasim Echach Me'azman. However, when we talk about Mishnah, when we talk about Gemara, Rishonim, Achronim, whatever, V'chein Yarchonim, Shenikru, or even, you know, journals, Torah journals, where you don't put the name of God in any of these things. So if I don't put the name of the God in, is this the Raisa or the Rabbanan?
The Rabbanan. Which names are you talking about?
Seven.
Okay.
The seven names. V'lo shayach shiramdu v'yanu behem. And people just aren't going to use it anymore. So if you walk in now to the base medrash, you'll know that the table is covered with gemaras, right? Because those are gemaras that we've been storing here, and no one has looked at it in decades. Right? Nowadays, whenever the Daf Yomi people, they don't use the old gemaras; they use their art scrolls. They use
from the Monday night share.
What? Rabbi Rosenfeld, all over Shalom, from his year, these go back to. The bottom line is nobody's using these Gemaras anymore. Right? Is there a Shem Hashem in it? There's not a Shem Hashem in it.
No. So we would recycle them?
So, according to Rabbi Moshe, Avon, Asos came, Lemaisa Tadabi Baze, Im Od Gedolei Poskim Berit Yisrael, Bim Gedolei Rashi Yeshiva, Vagam Im Gedolei Torah, Vaharam, Me'eda Charedis, Vemea Sfardim, So the bottom line is, Moshe says, I'm not ready to say this, but I think that you should be able to recycle these things. Because again, you're going to put it in. You're going to put it in the recycling bin, right? What's going to happen to it then?
It's destroyed.
Well, no,
it'll be repulled, whatever that entails.
A non-Jew will pick it up. He will take it to some place, and there, from there he will destroy it. So you're doing grama. You're not destroying it, right? You're having someone else. You're putting it away so someone else is going to destroy it. That the argument that which is that it would be Durabanan. And this, of course, beyond on top of it is the whole Seamus that you're putting in is Durabanan. So Moshe suggests, he says, don't quote me on this, and then we published it, that he thinks that this would be okay. See, the idea is as follows. When it comes to, obviously, you can't throw it in with your leftover breakfast. But if you go and you put it in a separate bag and you put it aside in a mechubadik way, right, and you're not destroying it, and we're not dealing with things that has the name of God, right? In that case, Reb Moshe suggests, and I think Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank said it earlier, in those cases, absolutely, that it should be okay to recycle it.
That's what we do with the Torah Tikkos.
What?
I didn't hear that.
It seems to me like we're talking about two different things. One is destroying the name of God, and the other one is treating it in a disrespectful way. Okay. And those seem like two very things, different things, but our pasuk here is talking about destroying the name of God.
Correct,
right?
Absolutely. So again, as far as the pasuk is concerned, our pasuk is only talking about destroying one of the seven names of God. That's all what it's talking about. That is the Oraisa. However, the rabbis expanded it, as rabbis are wont to do, to say that you can't destroy Divrei Torah, and you can't destroy other names of God that didn't make the top seven list.
So I thought we had to listen to the rabbis.
And we do have to listen to the rabbis, as Dr. Rapp said very clearly on Wednesday, I understand. Mm-hmm. Right? So absolutely we have to. However, in a case where there is a need, and the argument is there is a need, because just think about the amount of Seamus that we put out here in our congregation, right? All the newsletters every week, right? All the Kollel sheets, right? All of the YU Torah Togos, right? All the whoever leaves whatever in the back, etc., etc. And multiple what?
Geller's Divrei Torah.
Right, right.
Treating sperm with respect, though, is that a derabanan or that be a deraisa?
So argue was again that's a different question.
So that's
but again it's at least a derabanan. Right?
Is it from the same pasuk?
That was his question.
So again, the abundance are not from a pasuk.
Well, it's a fence, right? Is it a fence around this
pasuk? Yes, I think it is an expansion of this. That I would say yes.
So you said you have to put it in a separate bag. You know you can't put a plastic bag in the recycling.
They only make bags out of plastic these days?
It's not true. You could.
I do it every single
time.
I
haven't been flagged once.
You can
get paper, but if you don't, can you take it out of the bag and put it in the recycling?
So again, the idea is, again, what's in your recycling bin?
All kinds of stuff.
So if it's all kinds of stuff, then it should be separately bagged. Again, if you have your old bottle of pasta sauce there, that's dripping on it. That is inappropriate. Then it should be bagged.
Magazines.
But again, if you have a separate container, I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to ask what type of magazines. But again, but assuming that you just have things that's just for paper, right? As some people have, right? Right, for white paper, that would be different.
So are you saying the Gemara does not have those seven names?
I am saying that the Gemara does not have those seven names, yes.
Okay, I never thought about that. Mm-hmm.
Right,
but so still, you have another thing. You have quotes from, you have Sukkim, you know, the Torah in the Gemara. You have Halacha in the Gemara. You have Torah in the greater saints.
What? Like he's saying, that we'll have all the Sukkim.
It doesn't say Hashem. I don't know if it says Hashem. Yeah,
but it doesn't prepare Hashem's name. It'll write a kino.
So you're doing something like that.
Right? I mean, so we have many mesiftas they can look at now, and I think they all use kinuyim. I don't think they put in yud kei vav kei.
So then, when it comes to your newsletter column,
yes,
that's
I can recycle it, but I couldn't fire it up in my charcoal chimney to start my grill.
Correct. That is correct. So you're going to have to stop doing that, Jeff. Let me just be clear here. We're putting the kibosh on that.
You're going to have to talk to Vinny about this one.
All right. Okay, this year has gone kind of long. I'll just quickly mention that the other sources that we skipped over, which you might want to look at, is recordings. If someone records the laning for a bar mitzvah, for example, there's a discussion whether that tape becomes shameless. We assume not. In order for something to be shameless, it has to be something that you could see by the eye. There was an interesting question a few years ago that the Israeli Philatelic Society came out with a stamp of set of rabbis from the Gemara, and they had Ma'amarim from the Gemara on the stamps. And if you looked under a magnifying glass, you could read the Gemara, actually, from it. So the assumption is if you can't see it with the naked eye, that is not considered shameless. So therefore, if you have a CD, if you have a thumb drive...
Those micro things you put in your wallet, the spark on it also.
Deleting emails.
So you're also, again, that is not considered writing. It's not permanent. It's just lights that are lighting up. We assume that that is not problematic. Again, in a perfect world, try not to put the real names on it to avoid any issues. But there is at least one rabbi that has a program which stops the names of God from coming on his computer. And then it also has a thing that automatically, if he doesn't do anything, sort of a screensaver kicks in that will automatically, without him doing anything, erase it itself, that he doesn't have to. We assume that this is probably a... I don't think you have to do it.
What? Braille, which is someone who can't see, but I can see Braille.
It's just another language.
Like,
right.
I would think,
but again, it's clearly Darabanan. It was written in English. It's just like English. It's not more than English.
Got it.
Okay. All right, there are lots of interesting questions about this, and we hope that people learn something.
Thank